that, I'll give you Bob back from St. Albans.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic.
I always think I need to have a disclaimer about this concept presentation. I first made it in 1983. I was asked by the West Virginia State Assembly to do the concepts at one of our assemblies, and when preparing for it, I added some slides because we try and make what would be a dry subject more entertaining. And since that time, every once in a while, I'm asked to drag them out again. And since that time, I've had some updates. I think you need to know that my comments are my interpretation of the concepts. They shouldn't be considered authoritative in nature by any means. Ever wondered how the groups and the General Service Conference and General Service Office and the Board of Trustees and AAWS and the Grapevine all fit together, and really what makes service work? Well, for me, for a long time, it was a puzzle. I'd go read the service manual. I'd look at the organizational charts. I'd go to assemblies and hear some part of the structure I hadn't heard before. And then one day somebody said something about the 12 concepts. And I knew about the steps and the traditions, but what were these 12 concepts? I really didn't become serious about the concepts until I became delegate. And at that time, I took it upon myself to study this book, the Service Manual. And what I found between the covers of this book is a structure of Alcoholics Anonymous, the General Service Charter, and the 12 concepts. 12 concepts were written by Bill, and a lot of times we refer to them as long form. And they came about after 20 years. After Bill was in the fellowship for 20 years, he kind of sifted and formulated in his own mind what we call the concepts. And each one of them is explained in detail in the service manual. And to understand them, you have to study the book. And what I'm going to do in an hour or less is to cover something that Bill wrote a whole book about. And that would be a monumental task. What seemed to confuse me about the concepts, there seemed to be a great deal of overlap. And the more I studied them, the less I seemed to understand them. And the reason are they're flexible. They're ideals. They're goals. And they're really a mental image of the principles which AA operates within. And the concepts are designed in such a way that our structure can be changed so that if what we know as permanent today may change sometime in the future. But Bill wrote these concepts so that if we go too far afield, we have some place to go back to. We would consider the basic. And these basics are our experience, our history, and the guiding principles of our fellowship. Finally, I found the missing part of the puzzle, the thing I was searching for such a long time. It's where all the pieces of the structure fit together. And all the time, it was right here in the 12 concepts. When I talked about a mental image, the concepts seemed vague because they're ideas. They're things that all of us, as part of our daily lives, we have dreams, we have goals, and they're not always tangible. And just as with us human, our goals and dreams change, so does our understanding maybe of the concepts. The concepts are guiding principles. They are not rules. They point us in the right direction, but they don't give us a roadmap how to get there. And for me, maybe that's why it was so hard for me to put a handle on the concepts. Concepts 1. The final responsibility and the ultimate authority for AA World Service should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. Dr. Bob and Bill had a vision. In the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, they realized that this program would sometime be worldwide. They realized that after the publication of the big book, we would be literature, maybe literature in foreign languages. They knew that they would have to help groups get started, not only in the United States, but maybe in other countries. They had an idea of a creation of a monthly magazine, and that has come to be. That's what we now call the Grapevine. And there was a great possibility that we should have some form of self-government. And these were the goals, and these two men had the vision to see. Bill had a vision of an annual conference. Representatives from all over the United States would come to New York. And this is where they could find out what was going on out there. They would sample the group opinion, get an entire finding of the cross-section, what goes on across our country. And today, we call that group conscience. In 1948, we had experienced a real urgency in the program. This was the year that Dr. Bob found that he had a terminal illness. And our founders realized that they were mortal and would not be here very long. And more than that, Dr. Bob realized that he would not be on this earth very much longer. I encourage all of you to read the book, Alcoholics Anonymous Comes to Age. This is our history. This is a detailed description of our experience. And in those early days, and it's impossible for me to review two books today. You know, AA Comes of Age and the 12 Concepts. And this is where study is required. If you really want to know and understand what happened in our fellowship, it's incumbent upon you to study these books, just as you would a textbook. Bill experienced a lot of opposition about the idea of bringing people from all over the country to New York. You might ask, this, understanding his services as we do today, why would anyone object? Well, the growth from alcohol in AA from 1938 to 1950 went from 50 people to 100,000. Many of them said, God, everything's going so well, why do we need to change? Why do we need anything new? God has been looking out after us, and we can depend on him to do it in the future. And there were others that said it's unnecessary expense. And probably one of the most important was that we would experience politics and factions in Alcoholics Anonymous. The real power drivers would get a hold of this thing and louse it up. And even the Board of Trustees had some reservations about it because they had some bad experiences with maybe the New York Intergroup and other AAs. And what's more, they wanted to know why they should have to become accountable to anyone. And that struggle went on between 1945 and 1950. In 1950, the General Service Board agreed to have the first General Service Conference on a trial basis. That was 1951, and the conference was held in Cleveland, Ohio. To understand this concept, and what I believe all the concepts are founded on, is Tradition 2. For our group conscience, the ultimate authority is a loving God, as expressed in our group conscience. Our leaders are the trusted servants. We were now applying this tradition to our groups for a long time, but now we had to apply this principle to our whole society. And what the concept states, in my opinion, it's a declaration that we as a society of recovered alcoholics will now be governed by group conscience. Concept 2. What you'll see on the screen is the concept in the short form. And what I'm going to be reading from my text is the concepts in the long form. And they will not follow exactly word for word. And I think that there's been some things lost in the interpretation when they reduce them to the short form. Concept 2. When in 1955, the AA groups confirmed the permanent charter for the General Service Conference, they thereby delegated to the conference complete authority for active maintenance of our world services, and thereby made the conference charter, the actual voice and effective conscience, accepting for any change in the 12 traditions or Article 12 for our whole society. In 1985, the General Service Conference approved an amendment to the bylaws to include the 12 concepts in the short form as part of the bylaws. In the past, the only way to change a tradition or the Article 12 of the Charter would require polling the whole world. It would require 3/4 of the votes of the groups worldwide to change anything in a concept also. And this task must be accomplished in 6 months. So you can see that the safeguards are in place to protect our traditions, our charter, and our concepts. It would be virtually impossible to do that. And to get getting all those groups to agree on anything would be even harder, I think. The key to this concept is delegation of complete authority. I came to assemblies for years and would hear others that it is truly the groups through their GSR that runs AA. And how do we do this? We delegate our GSR the right to participate in our assembly. And now that's what we were saying to our conference. The principle we are talking about has been with AA a long time. If you think about it, there were small groups in AA and in New York, and they asked Bill and Bob to write the book. Well, Dr. Bob was in Akron and Bill was in New York, so when he said, Bill, you write the book. So what's happened is that one delegated an authority to another. And so was it in 1955 in St. Louis, Missouri. The authority of our founders was passed to the groups, and the groups passed it to the conference. And we were saying to the General Service Conference, we now give you the authority to act for us. Concept 3. As the traditional means of creating and maintaining a clearly defined working relationship between the groups, the conference, the AA General Service Board, and its several service corporations, staffs, committees, and executives, and thus ensuring their effective leadership, it is suggested that we endow each of these elements of world service with the traditional right of decision. I suppose in my time in Alcoholics Anonymous, this is the least understood concept. Sometime a person will get up and say, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a trusted servant. I've got the right of decision. Well, let's look at it in a different light. It says the group is the ultimate authority and the conference have delegated authority, and that's what's stated in concept 2. And in item 3 of the conference charter, it states, each member of the conference should be free to vote their conscience dictates and free to decide what should be taken to group level, whether for information, discussion, or direct instruction. This seems to be a contradiction. If we say that the group is the ultimate authority and the charter says that the delegate can do what he or she wants, where's the balance? The question may be asked, can a group or an assembly direct a delegate to participate or to vote in a particular way? And the answer is yes. They can instruct a delegate to follow their direction. But what would happen? You'd have a disgruntled delegate. They feel that they just become a messenger. The groups have instructed the delegates what to do. They go and do it, and they don't have any real authority. Therefore, there must be a balance. Secondly, group conscience is only good as it's informed. We sometimes experience at an assembly that we don't have all the facts. And there are times during the debate on the conference, something puts a new light on the subject. That person We send that the General Service Conference has the right to vote the dictates of their conscience, and trust must be the watchword. It doesn't matter what level of service you're electing to someone, whether it's a GSR or a DCM or a delegate, wherever it may be. If you don't trust them, don't vote for them. Meaning the way they go to the conference, we trust them and we give them the authority to act for us. However, that does not give them the right to not render reports or not to try and find group conscience. One thing I think is even more important, the title side said the 12 concepts for world service. What happens at the General Service Conference is really a world meeting. The policy that comes out of the conference affects Alcoholics Anonymous all over the world. And our delegates are representatives of the world. They just don't represent their community or their assembly, because the decisions that they have to make should be accordingly on how it affects Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole.
Concept 4.
Throughout our conference structure, we ought to maintain all responsible levels of tradition, right of participation, taking care that each classification or group of world servants shall be allowed a voting representation in a reasonable proportion to the responsibility each must discharge. One of the reasons I had trouble with the concepts, when you read them as I have so far, they sound like legalese. You know, it's very cumbersome and talk. But in this particular concept, what it's really saying is that the key to participation is the key to harmony. And in all levels of service, we should never have second-class citizens. Whenever someone has a role on a committee, this concept is saying they should have a vote. They have the right to participate, the right to plan, to have their views heard. And it prevents all authority being in one group and all responsibility in another group. And remember the overlapping. It's some like the delegate getting direction. If groups tell the delegates what to do, and the trustees tell the General Service office what to do, and no one has a voice, all at once they just feel like a rubber stamp. Because of this concept is where the freedom of thought prevails in our fellowship. It's where new ideas begin. It also protects something spiritual in all of us, the need, the right to belong. And I believe this concept is in the final step in making us trusted servants. We have a situation here in our West Virginia Assembly where all past delegates become permanent members of the state committee. But we don't have a vote. Now, I'm not lobbying, I should tell you that, for that to happen. But what it states is that this is not in keeping with this concept. If you are a member of a committee, whatever that job may be, you have a right to have a voice in that. Now, I will defend what's going on in as far as those of us who are past delegates. We are not required to attend a state meeting. We're not required to attend an assembly. We go there out of choice. And so consequently, I don't really believe that we need a vote. But the important part of it is what that concept is saying is that if you are a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and you're working in service, everybody should have the right to participate in some form. Concept 5, throughout our world service structure, the traditional right of appeal ought to prevail, thus assuring the minority opinion will be heard, and the petitions for redress of personal grievances will be carefully considered. I suppose in all gatherings of service, there will always be a minority. But we are a society that not only protects the minority, but we empower it. The fact this concept basically states that we encourage all members of all levels of service, whenever they feel the majority is in error, to file a complaint. They call it a minority report. It states, if the concept error is grave, we have a duty to do so. There's one old sage once said, the hottest place in hell is reserved for the person who knows something's wrong and doesn't do anything about it. And that's what this is saying also. If you really believe in your heart of hearts that something is wrong, you have a duty, you have an obligation to voice your opinion. Once we had a GSR in District 1, her name was Edna, and she went to a district meeting, and they conducted some business while they were there, and she brought it back to our group. And she wasn't happy with what the decision was, and our group was rather blasé about it. They didn't like it either, but they didn't get upset about it either, just going to let it go by the wayside. But Edna decided to write the DCM a letter and ask for this to be put on the agenda for the next meeting. And the next meeting was discussed, and it was reversed. And everybody seemed happy. What Edna didn't know is that she was operating within the frame of this concept. That she was following her conscience and getting something corrected. Bill said that we should never be subject to either the tyranny of the majority or the minority. And when a deadlock takes place, we go to the hat. This is the place where the majority and the minority become equal. This is when all arguments cease. There's no one in charge anymore. This is an important principle is one of the greatest savings graces God has given to Alcoholics Anonymous. Just think how the presidential election could have been solved in Florida. But you see that, and there's Frank in the back. He always liked to tell that when I was running for, stood for delegate, he voted for me and I was pulled out of the hat. But you see the importance of our notion of government in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you want to call it that, but the guiding principles that we operate are a contradiction to the society that we live in. And it's really helped us a lot. Concept 6. On behalf of AA as a whole, our General Service Conference has the principal responsibility for the maintenance of our world services. And it traditionally has the final decision respecting large matters of general policy and finance. But the conference also recognizes that the chief initiative and the active responsibility in most of these matters should be exercised primarily by the trustee members of the conference when they act among themselves as the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous. The General Service Conference meets in April, but the business of AA goes on daily. We have a group of trustees that and boards of directors of the various service corporations that meet monthly. They used to refer to these as the New York trustees because travel was such as that they always had local people fulfill these obligations, responsibilities. However, today, when I said that the concepts, the structure we know now sometimes can change, and for a lot of us, we think AA is pretty rigid. But in this particular case, they have altered that principle to where anyone in the United States can now serve as a director or on, as a trustee or any of the service boards. Along with that, we have a regional trustee that represents the Southeast region. There's 13 states in the Southeastern region and Puerto Rico. And that particular person will go to the General Service Board meetings quarterly and where they take care of the other actions. Now, when these board of directors
gather in their meetings. What that is saying is that they have the same privileges as the rest of us, the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. They have the right of decision. They have the right of appeal. They have the right of participation. So that you can see that when you apply the principles of this tradition, this concept, it goes beyond the notion that we are that is strictly restricted to our assemblies. And these same principles, if you look at them, you can apply them to your groups. When you're electing people to your groups, whether it be for a coffee maker, a treasurer, or a chairman, whatever, or maybe you have, and like in Charleston, we have an intergroup. These people should have the right of participation, the right of decision, the right of appeal. Bill said, the business model of organization is far superior than the one of government. And this is what the Board of Trustees is based on. It's how a major corporation would function. And I think it's both reasonable and understandable when you think about it that way. Concept 7. The conference and the charter and the bylaws of the General Service Boards are legal instruments that the trustees are thereby empowered to manage and conduct the World Services Affairs of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's further understood that the conference its charter itself is not a legal document. It relies instead upon the traditional and power of the AA purse for its financial effectiveness. There's no question that the Board of Trustees are the legal owners of Alcoholics Anonymous. All AA money and all AA services are holders of, and it had to be this way. The only thing statistic that I found is that 1943 is when the Alcoholics Anonymous was incorporated as a non-profit corporation in New York, state of New York. We are a corporation just as Boeing or IBM or Eastman Kodak would be. And what's saying here is that this Board of Trustees own us lock, stock, and barrel. And it also states that the General Service Conference is only an advisory board to the General Service Trustees. Early on, the groups had trouble with this. They didn't want to turn over everything that we had and responsibilities maybe to these groups of people they didn't really always know for sure. And they struggled making a decision about that. But what they came about to realize is that these alcoholic and non-alcoholic trustees didn't have any financial interest or nothing to gain from serving in these positions. And what's more, if they ever got out of line, all they'd have to do is cut off their money. And that's where the whole basis of this concept is, the power of the purse. Some of you remember Larry S. from Clarksburg, and he would get up at many assemblies and he would talk about the idea that one of his major concerns was that the fact that the sale of literature was exceeding the group contribution because it disturbs the balance of this principle. If the General Service Office could gain enough income from the sale of literature, the groups would lose the power of the purse. And that's been discussed at many times at the Assembly. And because of some of the things that he talked about and actions of the West Virginia Assembly, at one time it resulted in the reduced cost of literature and the reduced cost of the big book for sale. The charter does provide some input from the trustees, though. If 2/3 of the vote of the General Service Conference is a quorum, is binding on the board. And a conference quorum is 2/3 of the registered members of the conference. A majority vote is not binding, but the board should take it under serious consideration. And when it is 3/4 of the conference, members may bring about a reorganization of the service board and the world headquarters. So what you can see, there's always a balance. The board of trustees doesn't really have all the control that you might think. Here at Huntington one time, we had a speaker at our state conference, and this is what he described AA. He said, an infant is dependent, an adolescent is independent, and an adult is interdependent. And that's the way it is. All these elements of world service, whether it's from our local group, or it's our assembly, it's the General Service Conference, or the Board of Trustees, we are all dependent on one another to make AA work. Now, when we talk about balance, the General Service Board has some control, too. They can veto a conference action, but only for good cause. Some of the reasons that they may veto an action is because of the conference acted under stress or pressure, or was in clear contradiction to our charter, or if it would adversely affect AA as a whole. And the board has several possible actions that they could ask the conference. One is to reconsider their action. And if the conference were to decline, the board has the right of appeal. They can bring the issue directly to the groups. Secondly, the board can adjust the budget at any time. You know, you bring a budget and some things, the things don't work out the way they were. Maybe the income is not sufficient and they have to adjust it. They can't wait for another year for the conference to come back in April, so they might not at that time. One of the things I think is most interesting is that even though that they have this right, there has never been a conference action that has been vetoed by the Board of Trustees. Concept 8. The trustees of the General Service Board act in two primary capacities with respect to the larger matters of the overall policy and finance. They are the principal planners and administrators. They and their primary committees directly manage the affairs, but with respect to our separately incorporated and constantly active service, the relation of the trustees is mainly as full stock ownership and custodial oversight, which they exercise through their ability to elect directors of these entities. This is where the spiritual gets down and mixes with the practical. The General Service Board must be constantly concerned with issues that affect AA worldwide, finance and public information, and it deals with policy. But we have sold, in counting all the additions, 21 million big books. Now, that's big business, no matter how you look at it. Over all the years, we had 21 million books. And this is where we turn to our service corporations. The service corporations are AAWS, that's Alcoholics Anonymous World Services, the Grapevine, and the General Service Office. The board delegates authority to these corporations, and they elect a board of directors, and they operate in the true sense of a business. Each one of these corporations of Alcoholics Anonymous, AAWS, and the Grapevine have their own offices, their own staff, their own budget, their own equipment, and yet because the General Service Board owns them, they have the right to hire and fire the board of directors. So once again, there's the balances of the concepts in effect. So all at once we find that in Alcoholics Anonymous, I guess there may be two worlds. There's that function of us that operates in the business world and with directors and voting members on boards. And then we have the element that we meet in our groups and our assemblies where we operate under group conscience and give those directions. Concept 9. good service leaders, together with sound and appropriate methods of choosing them at all levels, are indispensable for the future functioning and safety. The primary world leadership, once exercised by our founders, must necessarily be assumed by the trustees of the General Service Boards of Alcoholics Anonymous. What this concept deals with is the selection of leaders. We were charged with the responsibility of selecting good leadership, and we must continue to bring new people into the levels of service. There must be personality in leadership. Bill stated, sometimes the idea of principles before personalities is warped. There must be some kind of evident leadership to give directives and direction. Otherwise, we would be a floundering, indecisive body of people. But good leadership means that you lead by example, not by mandate. Good leadership means the ability to discern even from prideful and angry people, even when they lash out at you in anger. You have to look for that kernel of truth. There may be a chance they may be right. Good leadership is the ability to give and take and be able to make compromise. And the idea, it doesn't have to come from me all the time. Good leadership means to stick with principles and stay out of politics. Many people don't understand why we go to the hat. Bill said, nothing quiets the minority and smooths out the difference in the minority camp as going to the hat, opposed to selecting the best person by vote. As I understand it, what he meant to say is that sometimes when we use third legacy procedure, and I don't know how many of you have ever been to an assembly and seen that, but you have a number of people stand for office, and through a series of votes, eventually you dwindle it down to two. And what he's saying is that 9 chances out of 10, that's my words, that either one of these guys or women are good servants in Alcoholics Anonymous, and either would do a good job in whatever comes about. He said that even sometimes a second choice may be the better. So that when we go to the hat, all the argument ceases. And we've seen it over and over at each assembly. Because a lot of times there are two camps that are really enthusiastic about one person or another. But after the selection is made by the hat, all arguments cease, and we all leave the assembly happily. Concept 10. Every service responsibility should be matched with equal service authority. The scope of such authority to be always well defined, whether by tradition, by resolution, by job description, by appropriate charter and bylaws. This concept is the summation of all the previous concepts. Bill left nothing to chance. Everything is spelled out in job descriptions where everyone and every place fits together. In 1970, there was a conference held in the General Service Conference in New York, and the theme of that conference was service is the heart of AA. Bill had been present at all the past conference, and I heard that someone say that when a past delegate had attended one of these conferences, when they really got haranguing and had the big hassle, that finally they would stop and say, Bill, what do you think? This is a picture of Bill at that particular conference. Sitting with him is our past delegate, Con Hearn. He's now deceased. And I assume that that's what he's asking. Bill, what do you think? The General Service Conference has truly become the heir of our founders. I was the delegate after Con Hearn, and I went to my first conference in 1971. That was the year Bill passed away. Thinking back, I feel that we were part of an historical event. We were the first men and women who assembled at a General Service Conference where Bill was absent. And somehow, that was felt. It was never verbalized, but there was a great deal of unrest during that conference. And I suppose down in each one of us wondered, I wonder what's going to happen now. And finally, that year, and each year thereafter, the conference has become what Bill intended it to be. It is truly the extension of Dr. Bob and himself. Concept 11. While the trustees hold the responsibility for a World Service Administration, they should always have the assistance of the best possible standing committees, corporate service directors, executives, staffs, and consultants. And therefore, the composition of these underlying committees and service boards, the personal qualifications of their members, the manner of their induction into service, the system of their rotation, the way which they are related to each other, the special rights and duties of our executive staff and consultants, together with a proper basis for financial compensation for these special workers, will always be matters of serious concern, caring concern. Bill left nothing to chance. The pages, these concepts, you have to read the description of every committee and how it functions in World Service is listed there. And you'll have to study the book in order to get much information about them, about this concept. And we could spend several hours just talking about them. I can't remember, it hasn't been too many years ago, but again, it was out of West Virginia Assembly. I think one of the duties that was lacking in the early printing was the responsibilities for treasurer, as I remember. And that was revisited and has been taken care of. But the important part of it is that that particular section of the 12 concepts has several pages, I guess, or more than one page, at any rate, listing of all the committees that serve Alcoholics Anonymous. And you could take each one of them one by one and spend a great deal of time and talking about them, whether it be PI or institutions or whatever that particular job may be. We're down the wire now. Concept 12. The conference shall observe the spirit of AA tradition, taking care that it never becomes a seat of perilous wealth or power, and that a sufficient operating funds and reserve be its prudent financial principle, and place none of its members in the position of unqualified authority over others, and that it will reach all important decisions by discussion, vote, and wherever possible by substantial unanimity, and its actions never be personally punitive nor be an incitement to public controversy, and it never perform acts of government, and that, like the society that serves, will always remain democratic through thought and action. That is Article 12 of our charter, that concept. Bill thought it was important enough to take Article 12 of our charter to be part of the concept. And that concept is primarily stating that we will never let money, property, or prestige be our guiding principle. That money and power have no part in our society. And that the General Service Conference will never be punitive or a court. Will always be a place where we come to exercise our group conscience. And everything that we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I look at these concepts, I realize that the 12 concepts are a history condensed, our 12 traditions condensed, into simple words to provide us a vision. And in conclusion, in St. Louis, Missouri in 1955. A had a stormy history, and I realize now that the final piece of the puzzle was put in place. And on that momentous occasion, a loving God is going to permanently act for us in our group conscience so that our world services can go on and on and on. And I thank you very much.